So I'm actually skipping a couple of psukim. I'm going down. It says in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says, Kiatam Ovrim Es HaYarden, you're passing by the Jordan River. So you're referring to Bnei Yisrael when they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have to go through the Jordan River. The Jordan River is going to split for them. Lavo L'Resh Tzarek, to go and inherit the land, Shar Hashem Elokeichem Nosen Lechem, that God is going to give you. So you will inherit it, V'yishavtem Bo, and you will live inside it. So Rashi says, Nisim Shel Yarden, you simen biyadeichem shetavo v'tirshus aretz. The nisim, the miracles that will happen by the Jordan River, will be a proof to you. That will be your sign. When there's a miracle that happens with the Jordan River, that's your sign you're going to enter Eretz Yisrael. When you see this huge miracle, the Jordan River going up in the air, similar to Kriyas Yamsuf, and you're going to pass through and go into Eretz Yisrael, when you see that happen, I guarantee you at that moment, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, you will inherit the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Chassam Sofer says, where does he get that from? Where does Rashi get that from? How do you know that that's a guarantee? He says the following, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Zayinim et Aleph, Repinchas ben Yoyer. Repinchas ben Yoyer was on his way to do Pidyon Shibuyim. He's going to redeem somebody who was captured, somebody who was in jail. And he was going by a certain area, there was a river that was running in front of him, and there was no bridge in sight. And in order to get to the Pinyon Shvuyim on time, he had to cross over this river. So he said it was called the Nar Ginoy. Nar Ginoy. And he said, Nar Nar, split for me, and let me go through you. Let me go through you in order to do this mitzvah. And the river said to him, Tosa says, either it was the angel of the river, or it was Rav Pinchas ben Yair saying it to himself. He said, we're both doing the Ratzon of Hashem. We're both doing the will of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. I'm a Vadai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to bring my water from that mountain to that lake, or to that sea. I'm a Vadai that I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. You are a Suffolk. You're a suffix if you're going to be able to redeem the captive. If you're going to be able to redeem those people that are in jail. Incidentally, by the way, Reb Chaim Kanievsky was asked on this Gemara, and somebody asked him and said, wait a second, Pidyon Shvuyim, the mitzvah is not to actually redeem. The mitzvah is to go and do it. There's a mitzvah to be poda the Shvuyim, to go and do the Pidyon Shvuyim. But even if you don't do it, you still get a mitzvah. So what was the problem over here? The pshat is that you're right when it comes to the ki'ilu, I was poda, ki'ilu, I did it. But for the river said, I'm vadai doing what God wants me to do. You, I don't know if this is what God wants you to do. You may not do the Pidyon Shvuyim, it may not actually work. And for you, even though it's ki'ilu you did the mitzvah, it's not like the actual mitzvah happened. So therefore, yeah, you'll get schar alicha. But the river said, I'm not splitting for that. That's still a suffix. It's still a suffix. So why should I split for you if you're not for sure going to do the mitzvah? Sever Pinchas ben Yair, split for me, or I'll be gozer by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'll make a decree that no water will ever run through you ever again. You'll dry up and you'll be a dried riverbed. So split for me right now, or that'll happen. And the river split for him. Says the Chassam Sofer, if the Nar splits without having to force it, without having to do anything to make it split, if it splits on its own, then Bnei Yisrael, then what would happen? Rapunzel's Ben Yair would have walked through. So to Bnei Yisrael would have gotten into Eretz Yisrael. Because Bnei Yisrael would be a Vadai. If Bnei Yisrael is a Vadai, that they're going to take over Eretz Yisrael, then the river will split on its own. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. If the river splits for you, it didn't do it for Rapunzel's Ben Yair because Rapunzel's Ben Yair was a Suffolk. Had Rapunzel's Ben Yair been a Vadai, it would have split for Rapunzel's Ben Yair. For you, if it splits for you, you'll know that your Vadai, it'll definitely happen that Bnei Yisrael are going to take over Eretz Yisrael. That's your Raya, says Rashi. That's all you have to know. You've got to be very careful when Nisim like this happen. When a miracle like this happens and all of a sudden we assume that everything's going to be okay. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Beis, one of the strangest psukim in all of Chumash. Ki yakum bekir b'cha navi ocholem chalom. If there comes up amongst you, within the Jews, not among the other nations, within you, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, v'nasen elecha osum opis, and he gives you a sign or he gives you a miracle. And he tells you something that's going to happen. And that sign, that miracle happens. Lamor, and he says, let's go after other gods that you have never heard of before. And we'll serve them. Don't listen to the words of that Navi or that dreamer. Why? Because God is just testing you. He's letting miracles happen through a false prophet to test you. Ladas, to know. Do you love God with all your heart and with all your soul? God, I can do without the test. Yeah, I'm fine without you giving me a test. I love you. If you want to really know, I love you. Don't let I'm saying this facetiously, don't let good old JC come down or come up from his place in Gehenna and appear on a cloud and come down as I'm back to bring my people to the final redemption, so that I have to make the choice between Yashka and God. I don't need that. I don't need that. You don't need to test me. And a test can make a lot of people fail. That could be really, really bad for a lot of people.
Is there a famous Ramban that says at the end of days, the Arabs and the Jews are going to both offer up korbanos?
The Rambam.
Is going to be accepted.
The Rambam says that they're going to be accepted.
And
yes.
And that's 100%. Going to be the challenge.
It's just, it's a pella, though. It's a pella. Don't test me. I don't need this. Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu allow the Navi Sheker to be Matzliach in the first place? Why allow him to be Matzliach? Don't let him do it. You know, if he doesn't get listened to, if for some reason it doesn't happen, then everything will be okay. The Bnei Yisrael is not going to have any doubts. But because all these people are so Matzliach, how many stories have you heard of these Christian people who are able to heal with their hands? Of these Christians who fly in the air? Of these people who are able to do all these things? These people in India and China and all these different places. All these people are successful in what they do. How many non-Jews who are terrible, terrible people are billionaires, absolute billionaires? Why should it be that way? So this is actually a machlokas. Sanhedrin daf tzadi. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, even if he does, don't listen. And Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yosef Glili, chas v'shalom, it'll never happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never allow the sun to stand up in the middle of the sky for people that are not doing his mitzvos. Rather, it's like Hananya ben Azor, who was a Navi Emes, and then switched back to a Navi Sheker. And when he was a Navi Emes, he gave us an oath, he showed us a tremendous miracle, but then later on when he was a Navi Sheker, he said, let's go worship Avodah Zarah based on the oath that I gave you before. You know that I was once a Navi, always a Navi. So you gotta believe me now. That's Hananya ben Azor. Then Rabbi Akiva says he's able to get a miracle. But there's no way that Rabbi Akiva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow a miracle to happen through somebody who's an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Yes.
Is that true though? Once a Navi, always a Navi?
The Ben Yoyada explains. Ben Yoyada explains that it's not true. A Navi MS is only a Navi up until he says something stupid. If he says something that goes against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if he says, like Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, like he says, we're being makriv a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash in order to prove a point. If you're like Eliyahu HaNavi, then you're allowed to do such a thing. Because he's already a proven Navi, even though he's telling us to do one thing that's an Aveira, that's fine, that you're allowed to do. But if he tells us that one thing is Avodah Zarah, let's go worship Avodah Zarah, you kill that Navi. Even though he was a Navi MS, now he's a Navi Sheker, now you kill him, says the Ben Yoyada. Ben Yoyada says, a Machashev can change things on land. He can make a table into a snake. He can turn a Coke bottle into a bird. That he's allowed to do, that he has the possibility of doing. That's possible, but not in the air. There's no way for him to do it in the air. Anything that happens in the air cannot happen. And that's why B'makas Kinim, if everybody remembers, by Kinim, the lice, the Mitzrayim were not able to copy it. Why? Because they were standing on lice. They weren't standing on the ground. If you're not standing on the ground, you can't do magic. So that's why a Machashev can only do that. But, says Ben Yoyada, if he uses HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shemos, if he uses God's names, then he can still make miracles happen even in the air. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do? He sits there and he says that no Navi Sheker will ever be able to use Shemos HaKadoshim to show other people that they should worship Avodah Zarah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow happen. And that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Rabbi Akiva is Gozer. And when a Tzaddik is Gozer, what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim. Rabbi Akiva is Gozer. It'll never happen, says Rabbi Akiva. It'll never happen that a Navi Sheker will be able to do something and it'll come true. It won't happen even with Shemos HaKadoshim. It'll never, ever happen. Never ever happen. He'll be shown to be a Navi Sheker. However, says the Chafetz Chaim, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to test us. Chassam Sofer gives a mashal. This is a tremendous mashal. Mashal is the following. A woman loves her husband tremendously. Loves her husband tremendously. But she's a very, very good looking woman. And there are a lot of people who look at this woman. Look at this woman. And her husband has doubts. He's not sure. He's not positive about his wife's faithfulness. He's 99% positive. But it's that 1% that he's sitting there and it doesn't allow him to live a normal life. That 1% is just bothering him so much. He wants to make sure that it's 100% true and he doesn't know what to do. The demons in his head, and he knows it's demons in his head. It's not him. He knows that his wife is faithful. But these demons in his head are telling him, she's doing something wrong. She's being unfaithful. She's doing something that's off. The husband, therefore, makes a plan to quiet down those demons forever so that they never speak up ever again. And he says to her, wife, because by this time he doesn't like her very much anymore, he says, wife, listen to me. listen to me. I command you to be with that other man. You need a temporary divorce, so it's not against halakha. I command you to be together with that other man. I want you to be together with that other man. And if you don't do so, if you're not with him, I'll divorce you. I'm going to divorce you. So I command you to be together with him. Now, if she does... I'm sorry?
You couldn't be together if she did it anyway.
Well, if she did do it, so that's what I said, to get around halakha, to say it's a divorce. You know, that, I'll divorce her. No, meaning I'll divorce. No, you can if she doesn't marry the other guy. That's Masu Gusha. So if she marries somebody else, if she just sleeps with somebody else, you can still marry her back. So to get around halakha, you can get around halakha. Regardless, he decides he wants to do this, right? He says that, and he says, I don't want to. Now, Lamaisa, if she does anything, she does do anything that's wrong, she's not doing anything wrong to her husband. Her husband told her to do it,
right?
Yeah, but she's not doing anything that she didn't do anything wrong to her husband. Her husband said you could. She didn't do anything wrong. But instead, what does she say? She says, you know what? You could divorce me or you could kill me. It would be the same. I don't wish to be with anyone but you. That's the answer that the husband knew was going to happen, knew was going to come. And he did the whole test knowing that she was going to say that in the first place. The only reason why he did the test is to quiet down those demons. To knock down those demons in his head who keep saying, she's unfaithful, she's unfaithful. So he says to the demons, okay, I'm going to give her the chance. I'm going to give her that chance to be able to be together with somebody else. Let's see what she does. And when she says that, the demons are quieted. Everything's all good. The man will love his wife fully, 100%, and give her tremendous gifts for answering that way. It's the same with the Navi Sheker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how good we are and how much we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how much we just want to be with Him. He knows that. But Mekatrigan don't. The Malachim Mashlis, the evil angels, have no idea. And they're up in Shemayim and they accuse us in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they say, those Jews, you give them a chance, they'll worship every idol out there. They're going to do all these tremendous things. They're going to be around with every idol. They're going to believe in all these other gods. To quiet them down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a Navi Sheker. And he says, do this, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send a Rav. The Navi Sheker will say, do this. I want you to go ahead and worship this idol. And if you don't do this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send a hunger. What does God want from us? He wants us to say, give us a hunger. If that's what God feels like, give us a hunger. I'll do anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, but there's no way that I'm going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he wants us to answer. And when we do answer that, the Mekatrigim are gone.
But what do you do? What do you do? You're talking about people that are highly educated or understand this kind of stuff a little bit more. What about your average person who really wouldn't you see something amazing and you're like, oh, that's incredible. How could I not believe that? That's got to be from God.
Okay, you are 100% right. There are always going to be Amiratim. They're always going to be on the
earth. I'm talking about your average person.
I'm really going with an Amaritz that's meaning somebody who really doesn't understand what he's doing, and as soon as he sees a miracle, he's just like, wow, I'm for that. I'm going to go ahead and do that.
I saw something like that, and I'm a little more educated than that. So if I saw something like that, I'd still be blown away. It would still be incredible.
100%. And that's the test.
You haven't been sitting in your seat.
Oh, well, that's their problem. That's their problem. No, the idea is the problem. Andy, you're right. You're 100% right, Aaron. For those that are not here and that are not listening to this, they're dead. I feel terrible. I feel terrible. That's not everybody. 99% of the world is right here. Okay, 100%. You're right. You're 100% right. The fact is, we are running into a problem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting there. But he did write this in the Torah. You're right if it would just be a surprise. Hey, guess what? Guess what I tried to do, guys? And that was all a test. Can't believe you guys fell for it. But here we have an open pasuk. Granted, it's in the summer, so nobody does partials in the summer. But it's here. It's an open pasuk that says, I'm doing it to test you. If you see it happen, if you see a Navi Sheker, a guy that tells you to do a Avodah Zarah, and he does something that's crazy, an unbelievable miracle, don't worry. It's a test. I'm telling you it's a test now. So it's like someone's telling you before, and this is what I'm going to do. What else did you want God to do? You want God to come down every 5 seconds and be like, I'm still here, guys. I'm still here. Another 5 seconds. I'm still here.
If all of a sudden Yashka came back and the Christians were actually right, if he actually came back, I'd be like, okay, you know what?
That's why we have the Torah.
There you go. That's it. That's Navi Sheker. That's what we're supposed to do. That it is the Nisayon of a lifetime. Here, Aaron, what you're saying right now, the Chafetz Chaim goes into, and he says, before Mashiach comes, B'nai Yisrael will be tested to see how davuk they are to Hashem. The Rishayim around them will be tremendously matzliach. He doesn't say how. He doesn't say that Yashka is going to come down. He doesn't say that Muhammad is, I don't know what he's supposed to be. I don't know, gives them 70 girls. I don't know what ends up happening. He doesn't say anything like that. He says they're matzliach, meaning they're rich. They're powerful. They have unbelievable amounts of money. And you look at these people and you say, wow, these guys are crazy. And they're so powerful. And it'll look like a world full of random. But it's the most random thing in the world. The people that should be the biggest Rishayim, those guys are going to go down. And those guys are going to be the most chashuv. They'll be able to do osos and mosim that will seem to prove their greatness and their holiness. If we stand up to the test, Kadosh Baruch Hu will love us, save us from our enemies right at the end, and give us presents. And give us everything that we could possibly want. So when you see that Hatzlacha, said the Chafetz Chaim, and he said this right before he died. Anybody know when the Chafetz Chaim died?
33.
The 30s. Right before Hitler, Yimach Shemo, was put in charge of all of Germany. He said, when you see that Hatzlacha, you know the Gula is almost here. You realize that the Gula is right there. Chafetz Chaim said, Kol Shekein, when they try to take over the world. It's only a test. It's a test, and it's sitting there and waiting for you to pass that test. Apparently, I hate to put it this way, we didn't fully pass that test with the Holocaust. I don't know why, I don't know where, I don't know what we needed to do, I have absolutely no idea, but Mashiach didn't come. There was a test. Hopefully our test next time will be easier and something that everybody will be able to take. How it will work, who knows. But we had one huge test, and we failed. Unless there's some way of saying that 60 years later it's still supposed to come, but we failed. Mashiach didn't come. That's what the Chafetz Chaim was trying to be merames to the people before he died. Yes.
How can we blame those who lost?
I don't blame. I absolutely don't blame anyone. I don't blame anyone. I don't say anything. I don't know what the test was. I don't know what the test was for every single person. If the test was for one person, who knows? We have absolutely no idea. It's not for us to decide. Nothing. But apparently, that test was failed. Maybe the test wasn't failed by those people in the Holocaust. Yeah. Maybe the test was failed by those people in America. Maybe the test was failed by those people in Eretz Yisrael. Those people weren't involved in the Holocaust. You don't want to say anything like that. It's just... Exactly. You have to say there's something there. There's something there. There's something around. So we have a haskala, but it's not there. It's not there yet, and we haven't really done it. So the Chassam Sofer says, and this is an unbelievable word that's totally out of place. I found this. This is so random. I opened up the Chassam Sofer to look up another word, and I found this. And I was like, what in the world? What's this doing here? The Chassam Sofer says the greatest test ever passed was the Akedah. Okay? Right before this Parsha, it says, right before it starts, it says, Lo sasa kein l'Hashem Elokecha, ki kol tu'avas Hashem eshasane, all the things that the Ofei Avodah Zarah do for their Avodah Zarah, those are things that God hates. That's what they do to their gods. Ki gam es b'neim es b'nosem yisub b'eish olayim. They take their children, they sacrifice them to their God. They burn them in a fire. That's what they do. The Amorim were well known for Molech Adar Melech. That's what they did. They took their Avodah Zarah and they sacrificed their children in front of it. Says the Chassam Sofer Akasha. He says the greatest test that anyone has ever done in the history of the world was the Akedah. But the concept of sacrificing your child to a god, everybody does that. Everyone at the time was doing that. That was well known. What was so great about Avraham Avinu taking his son and offering him to a Kadosh Baruch Hu when every goy was doing that? Every goy took their kid and put him through Moach. What was Achaz, the father of Chizkiyahu, who took Chizkiyahu Melech and put him through the fire? He was as great as Avraham Avinu?
Yeah, but they were commanded to.
I understand that. Yeah, even more so, if you're commanded, of course he'll do it. I understand, but if you're commanded to by a god, these people are not commanded to, and they still think it's good. They don't mind, sir. You're right, but why is that a test if everyone else around you is doing it? Every person around you is doing this idea.
It wasn't Avraham, it was Yitzchak accepting that, wasn't it?
It was the Avraham Avinu's test.
It was the test. But
yeah.
What was great about it was that Yitzchak went on.
Well, that's another part of the test. It was like Yitzchak was rewarded. But it was Avraham's test. Avraham passed and he signed the Akedah by sacrificing his child or not doing so. So what was so great about the test? Listen to this answer from the Chassam Sofer. I thought it's this week's Parsha. Nothing to do with anything. I'm like, where is this? Why is this not in Parsha Vayera? But it's in this week's Parsha. He says, in Yud Beis Lamed Aleph, he says the following. Avraham Avinu had thought about this for a long time. For 37 years. Really, he did it when he was 3. So 134 years. He had been thinking about what God would want and what God doesn't want. And one thing that he was definitely positive about is that God doesn't want child sacrifice. He went up to other people and he taught it to others. And he told others, God does not want child sacrifice. There's no way that God would want such a thing. It can't be that God would ever want such a thing. Who would want something like that? And he taught it to others. It was a mainstay. It was one of the animamins of his belief system. It was like animamin number one. Animamin b'muna shleima that a Kodesh Baruch Hu was never going to ask me to sacrifice my child. That's like number one. That was his animamins. Now it seems he made a massive mistake. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him he had to do it, so a Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot be God. That's what Avraham Avinu had to think. And you think that was just him thinking that? The Satan went up to him. And he said to Avraham Avinu, you must have made a mistake. You must have made a mistake. There's no way God would have told you to do this. Because you've been telling people that. You know what the Satan did? That jerk. You know what he did? He pulled people off the street. People that Avram had already convinced to believe in monotheism, to believe in God, and put them right on the road, right on the path of Avram Avinu, as Avram Avinu was going from Hebron to Yerushalayim. And on the path, these guys are like, where are you going, Avram? And why is Yitzchak carrying sticks for a fire? What's going on here? And Avram Avinu is just sitting there like, I can't answer you for right now. And they're just like, are you trying to sacrifice your child? Didn't you tell us that that was wrong? And they were saying that to him. They were saying that to him. And Avraham Avinu is listening to them. And he's hearing these people telling him that. And he's like, you're the biggest hypocrite we've ever seen, Avraham Avinu. You told us not to do this. And he lost Talmidim from this Maisa. He lost Talmidim. I have never seen this. But they all ask what happened in the Nefesh of Bukhara. What happened to those people that Avraham Avinu made his ger? You never see them ever again after the Akedah. And who knows? Maybe Avraham Avinu lost all his Talmidim from the Akedah. Everyone. Because what was he going to tell them? No, God told me and then I don't have to do it. What was he going to say to them? If you have it in the Torah, you can understand it, you can see it as an Isayim, you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is what I wanted, this is what I didn't want. What was he supposed to say to them? Maybe he lost all his Talmidim from this. The Talmidim all looked at him, they're like, this is crazy. This is crazy. You kept telling us not to do this. What do you think Eliezer ben Abraham and Yishmael, what were they thinking? They're down at the bottom of the mountain. This is nuts. I mean, for 134 years has preached one thing. Now he's doing the exact opposite? From what? Here's the test. How could Avraham Avinu legitimize the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to sacrifice Yitzchak? How could it be? Here's what the Chasam Sofer says. We know that a Navi can change a halacha. He can tell you to be makriv a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash. He can tell you for one day you're allowed to wear shatnez. He can tell you that for one day you have to break Shabbos. You're allowed to do that once. If it's a proven Navi already from other things that he said, and now he tells you to do an Avera, it's allowed. You're allowed to do that. Okay. But if he tells you to do a Avodah Zarah, you have to immediately kill him. Because no Navi will ever tell us to do a Avodah Zarah. Says the Chasam Sofer. And I think, says the Chasam Sofer, you can't listen to a Navi to be makriv another human being to a god. If a Navi tells you, a proven Navi, it's Elio a Navi, comes up to you and says, be makriv your child or another person to a Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to listen to him. Why? Because all future Doros will be affected by that. If that child goes down, that means it's not going to be Lefisha. It won't be being over on an Avera just once. It's an Avera for all time. Because all the future generations are affected by this. Says the Chasam Sofer, you're not allowed to do it. So Avraham Avinu made a diak. Does anybody know the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu when he told him to sacrifice his son? As Bimcha, Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta, as Yitzchak. What does Yechidcha mean? Your only son, right? It's a problem with that, right? Because he had Yishmael. So you can translate it in two different ways. Number one, he already said Asher Ahavta. So what do you have Yechidcha for? You could say, well, the Yechidcha one is from Sarimin. From Sarimin, right? So that could be. But there's another way of learning it. That's how Rashi says it. But there's another way of learning it. Yechidcha could also be the word your yachid. Yachid means what? He's by himself. Meaning, he won't have any children. It's impossible for him to have a child. And by the way, Lamaisa, that's true. Yitzchak Avinu was not able to have a child before the Akedah, and that's why Avraham Avinu didn't marry him off before the Akedah, even though he's 37 years old. 37 years old, you're not going to marry him off. He didn't marry him off because he wasn't able to have a child. So he translated the word Yechidcha as a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying to him, Yitzchak's going to be barren. He's unable to have a child, which means that it's not a mitzvah that's going to be over on forever and ever and ever. It's a mitzvah just for right now. I will never tell you to do this ever again, and I will never tell you to do it to anybody else. But this child can be sacrificed as a one-time deal. As a one-time deal. And you're a Navi. You're a Navi MS. And Lefisha, you can be over on an Avera. So you are allowed to do it. Avraham Avinu's test was to translate it in a way that would be halachically permissible to sacrifice Yitzchak Avinu. And he did it. So Mida Kenega Mida, what did Avraham Avinu get promised from Hashem after he had done the Akedah? What was the promise given to him? Ki harba arbe ezarech kechol hayom. I will give you so many children like the sand of the sea from this one son. That was the idea. Because he had sacrificed him, knowing, so to speak, that he wasn't going to have any children. So the reward was, Yitzchak will have children. That is an unreal Chasam Sofer in this parsha. Never seen it before, but that's a tremendous thing. Okay, now I have an Or HaChaim. If you ever wonder what happens to you when you do a chait, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Or HaChaim HaKadosh, tells you, here is what happens. There's a pasuk. When your brother, the son of your mother, entices you. When he entices you. Either your son or your daughter. Or the wife that lies in your bosom is literally the translation. Or your friend that's mamish like your soul. They say privately, secretly to you, saying, let's go serve other gods that you don't know of. You and your fathers. Let's go serve these other gods. Are you ready to serve these other gods? That's what happens. He says, well, why do you have to mention all those different people? Whatever, Bincha, Bitcha, Eshtchei Kecha, why do you have to mention all these people? You know, by the way, there's a remez from the Rabbeinu Ephraim in the sixth parsha. Your brother is what? The son of your mother, right? So why did you have to say the son of your mother? You should know, Bincha Beni Mecha is a remez to Yeshu. I forgot how it goes exactly. Rabbeinu Ephraim says a whole gematria. Ki yisischa achicha beni mecha. I think is the same gematria as Yeshu. I don't remember how it goes. It might be achicha beni mecha. I don't remember how it goes exactly. But it refers to Yeshu. It's referring to Yeshu, who is the son of your mother, but he says he was from a god. That's what it's supposed to refer to. The whole long thing over here. Regardless. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, this is what happens. Anytime a person is born, he is born with a mesis. Something inside him that tries to get him to do evil. That's what it means when it says lepesach chatas rovetz. When you walk outside the door, sin lies in wait. That was what was told to Cain. Cain was told that, and it's true by everybody. You come out with the Yetzer Hara. When do you get your Yetzer Tov? When you're 13. That's when you get your Yetzer Tov. You have a Yetzer Hara until you're 13 years old. You're living with the Yetzer Hara, and that's that. But every Avera has another mesis that comes with it while you're in the midst of doing the Avera. When you're in the midst of doing the Avera, there's a koach that pushes you to do something else wrong, to go and do another sin. While you're doing a chait, and you can check this out, while you're doing a chait itself, you will know that there's another chait that's going to come in. And that's Avera goreres Avera. One Avera is going to lead to another Avera. One sin's going to lead to another one, you're going to do another one, and then another one. You're already thinking about your next chait. That's number two. The more you sin, the stronger this koach gets. That's what it means by b'makom shabalei tshuva omdin, ein tzadikim yichol lamod. Tzadikim cannot stand. Because it gets stronger and stronger and stronger till you're mamish in a point where you can't do anything else. Soon, a third koach comes in. You know what that is? Another nefesh. An evil nefesh enters inside your body. Someone else's nefesh. A nefesh from the Olam Haba comes down and enters your body and wants you to sin and tries to get you to sin and helps you on your way of sinning. That's number three. And number four, the final level, is where sinning becomes second nature to you. It becomes a part of your soul. Your soul has a pagam. It has like a hole in it. There's like a little hole in it to the point where you almost automatically sin. You become a kofer. You become an Oved Avodah Zarah. And your nefesh is in a place that you can never escape. You can't get out of it. There's nothing you can do. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, here's the pasuk. Ki yisischa achicha beni mecha. You're born with the first part of that Yetzer Hara. You're born with it. It's your brother. And it comes from your mother's womb. As soon as you leave your mother's womb, right there, that's achicha beni mecha. But soon, there's a second koach. It's a tolada from your first chait. It comes out. It's like a child that comes out from your first chait. Because once you sin, you start thinking about the next sin that's possible. That's bincha o bitcha, your son or your daughter. And says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, there are different sins. The worse the sin is, or the more into the sin you are, that's how bad. It can either be a son, which is a very, very powerful chait that tries to get you to do more, or bitcha, daughter, which gets you to do not as much. Then comes number three. O eshes chaykecha. Eshes chaykecha is someone that pairs up with you. Like a nefesh that comes from the other world and comes in and joins in with your soul and tries to make you do even worse. And then finally comes reyacha asher kenafshecha. Then a mamish becomes like you yourself. You yourself want to sin. That's how the Yetzirah gets you to worship the Buddha.
As you do it once,
it becomes strings, and then all of a sudden it becomes like a huge rope. It's ki'ilu, it's hutzerlach. It's like it's hutzerlach. It's a slow, methodical process that goes all the way through. Says the Chafetz Chaim. Again, just one after the other. The Chafetz Chaim in this week's parsha were unbelievable. Every person has the ability to feed it. But you have to think about how you're doing things, l'shem shamayim. He says, a chait sometimes happens, but you don't do yish. Pick yourself up, do tshuva, pull yourself back together, and do good. He says the following. He said, there is a mitzvah to kill Amalek. This is what the Chafetz Chaim says. There's a mitzvah to kill those who are in Ir Nidachas, in a city that worship the Avodah Zarah. 50% of the city, 51% of the city worship the Avodah Zarah. There's a chiyuv to kill a mesis. And you do it in any way possible. They say about the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer once saw a mesis, a guy who was trying to convince others to do a Avodah Zarah, and a moser, a guy who was, you know, going out, and he saw him in the mikvah. So the Chassam Sofer was a very strong individual.
He
put his hands on top and just held them under. To my knowledge, I'm not an expert on the Chassam Sofer, to my knowledge, I know of at least three people that the Chassam Sofer killed with his bare hands. With his bare hands.
What?
Yes, just three.
I heard that.
Look over the stories of the Chassam Sofer. There are three stories of him killing somebody. One where he threw a rock at him, and it was a kid, it was a Amalek. Nelson Adler later told him that the kid was a Amalek. Another, it was when the Chassam Sofer finished Shas for the first time, he was 14 years old. So he told his Rebbe, Rav Nachman Adler, that I had finished Shas. So Rav Nachman, he said to his Rebbe, what should I do now? So what did Rav Nachman Adler say to him? No, like, let's make a siyum. No, like, let's have a party. Nothing like that. You know what he told him? Fast for 3 days. Fast for the next 3 days straight. 14! Okay? 14 years old. So he fasted for the next 3 days. At the end of the third day, he went out on a tiyul, like right before mincha time, with a couple of his friends, to whatever it is, to get themselves used to mincha so that they could have, they were going to make a siyum that night. The siyum was going to be that night. So they were on the tiyul and they realized they weren't going to make it back for mincha. And they decided to daven mincha right out there in around the road. So there was a non-Jew who came by who saw them davening and started throwing rocks at them. So everybody scattered except the Chassam Sofer stayed stock still, did not move in his Shemon Esrei. Didn't move in his Shemon Esrei. The goy came right up to the Chassam Sofer, came right up to him and swung his hand back. And as he swung it toward the Chassam Sofer, nobody saw what happened, but all of a sudden the non-Jew was dead on the spot. Dead on the spot. They say crazy stories. He used a shame, he did this, he did whatever. That's the second
stories.
One. Or nothing Adler, yeah. Okay, either way, regardless, Chassam Sofer is unbelievable and stuff like that. So how do you do it? How do you kill a Malik? How do you destroy an Irani Dachas? How do you kill a Mesis and not get affected by that? You can't kill. It's obviously usher to kill. Technically, that's a chait. So what do you do? Says the Chafetz Chaim.
In general, how do you kill, like, as a Jew?
Like, how could you do it like that? Says the Chafetz Chaim. This is unbelievable. Says the following. He says, based on all this, you have to have kavanah to do the mitzvah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you have even a tiny bit of intention, that you're doing it because you want to kill someone, or because you're bloodthirsty, or because you feel that that'll be good for you, or the guy's a jerk, and I really want to get him. If you have even a microcosm, a tiny little bit of revenge or anything like that, it is absolutely usur gummer to kill a Malik. Usur gummer to kill an Ir Nidachas, usur gummer to kill a Mesis. You cannot do it. It's usur. You won't be able to do it. The only way you can do it is if you have thoughts l'shem shamayim. If your kavana is for the right reason. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you, and it's a pasuk, Yud Gimel Yechas. He promises you, V'nasan lecha rachamim. I will give you mercy. Because typically, an act like this will make you into a murderer. You won't get enough of it. You kill one person, you're going to want to kill another. And who says, how can I kill somebody? How is it shaykh? What does that mean? You know what it'll do? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I won't let it affect you badly. If you do it correctly. And the way you'll know if it affected you badly, if you did the wrong thing, by killing a mullet. It's a mitzvah that we don't understand, but it's a mitzvah. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you will know if you did it badly if you feel like you want to kill someone else. If you have that feeling, that thought of wanting to do more, it'll start to bring you down. You know you didn't do it correctly. And then it's also, you want to kill anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone. Anyone. You should never, ever want to kill. The only situation that you should have is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to kill, so I must kill. That's all you can have. Unfortunately, we don't even understand the concept of a mullet because we've never seen them. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they do. We don't know why they're out there. We have absolutely no idea. But the concept is there. And the way we accomplish it nowadays is by reading the Parsha. Timcha Zecher HaMalek. That's another story for another time. Another idea of trying to knock down apikorsis and things like that. But I'm going to end off with another Maisa from the Chofetz Chaim. Lotis Godidu. The Pasuk in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, right after this. Lotis Godidu. Literally, the Pasuk means you're not allowed to make a cut for someone who died. Right? You're not allowed to make cuts in your skins for someone that died. I don't know if anybody's heard of stuff like this, but nowadays it's a very famous thing. It's what psychologists deal with when there's cutting. Somehow people feel that cutting their skin and making themselves bleed relieves them of stress. It gives them a little bit more. They just feel better about themselves. Sometimes it's there. What? It makes it feel like you're alive. Like, oh, I do have blood, 100%. So they work on these types of things, on cutting that's out there. Lotus Godidu is what they used to do for the mason. And apparently it worked. It was something that they cut themselves, and they felt better about the fact that somebody had passed away. And they caused themselves to have scarring and tattoos based on that. So you're not allowed to do that. But there's another drush that comes from it. Lotus Godidu also means Lotas Agudos Agudos. You can't make groups of Jews that are doing different things. Now, halakhically, that means you can't have a shul where some people are wearing tefillin during Chol HaMoed, some people are not. We're mako on that in America. But in Eretz Yisrael, if you go into Eretz Yisrael and you wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed, you better bring your nunchucks or brass knuckles somewhere, because they will beat you up and throw you out of shul so quickly. Maybe you'll get a nice guy. He'll be like, we don't wear tefillin in shul. But if you insist on wearing tefillin in shul, you will have your tefillin thrown off you. You know, not from experience, but I saw someone happen to him. But either way, but do not.
You can imagine what it was.
Yeah. Either way, you cannot. So a guy came up to the Chofetz Chaim, a man came up to the Chofetz Chaim, and he asked him, what's the point of all these different nuschos? People davening Nusach Sfard, Nusach Sfaradi, Edus HaMizrach, Ashkenaz, what's going on? And all the different sects of Chasidus. You know, some people concentrate on tefillah, some people concentrate on dancing, some people concentrate on this and that and everything, and all the different parts of Orthodox Judaism. What is the idea behind all the agudos? You want to tie this back in with what happened in Eretz Yisrael not too long ago? That's a different story altogether. But what's the point of all these different types of Judaism? Why can't we all just be the same? Why can't we all just get along with everybody together? Everybody does the same. We're all wearing the same stuff. We're all doing the same thing. Why can't it be the way? So the Chofetz Chaim answered him, and he said the following. He said, why are you asking me? Why didn't you ask the same question to the Tsar of Russia? Or Tsar of Russia, depending on what dialect you want to say it in. Ask him. Go ask the Tsar. Go up to him and ask him, tell me, Mr. Tsar, why in your army do you have foot soldiers? You have an air force. You have a navy. You have horsemen, so to speak. You have guys that ride in tanks. You have people that are bow and arrow guys, or you have long shooters. You know, you have people like that. You have these people that are doing all these different types of things. Why are you diversifying so much? Wouldn't it be better if you concentrated on one act and you were just the experts in that field? You just had an air force and you did nothing else. You just had a navy, or you just had foot soldiers and that was it. You mastered the art of hand-to-hand combat. Wouldn't that be better? So what's this hour going to tell you? What's he going to tell you? It's going to tell you? No. Because when you're fighting an enemy, you have to have all these different types of strategies in order to win. You can't just have an air force and expect to win. You got to have everything. Because sometimes you have to attack them by sea. If they know you're coming from the air, they're going to have that ground-to-air missiles that are just sitting there waiting for you. But if they don't know where you're coming from, you could be coming by land, you could be coming by sea, you could be coming by air. They don't know how you're coming by land, if you're coming this way or that way or whatever it is. Then you're going to be able to win. You need all these different types of strategies in order to defeat the enemy. Says the Chofetz Chaim. Everyone in the army has a purpose. There's a reason why they're there, and they're all supposed to do something. Even the medics, even the ambulance drivers, even the guy who holds the flag and like waves it back and forth, even the guy with the trumpet that blows on the trumpet that tells them like when to wake up, the bugle call in the morning. Everyone has a purpose, and everyone is doing something there. Because to defeat your enemies, you need even the small guys. if you don't have one of those guys, you're going to lose. Says the Nimshal. This is what the Nimshal is. It's the same when fighting the war against our Yetzirah. Everyone is a soldier in the army of HaKadosh Baruch. Every Jew is that soldier. Some fight by learning Torah. Some fight by davening. Some fight by making brachos. Some fight in other ways. It doesn't really make a difference. Whether it's through Simchas HaChaim, or by doing whatever it is that you do as a good Jew. Because everybody does something that makes them into a good Jew. Whatever you do, that one thing helps you go further. Takes you one step after the other. We all have the same kavana, says the Chafetz Chaim. But we can't all be doing the exact same thing. We need to diversify in order to make sure that we defeat the Yetzer Hara in every way possible. Now, what's the problem? You don't have one general on top of everybody. You don't have a czar. If you don't have a king who's helping everybody be in their positions at the right time, then there's just a lot of chaos. So you're right. You're right. Right now, it would be good if everybody was the exact same thing. But people aren't the same, says the Chafetz Chaim. And we will have a king. We will have a Mashiach. We will have someone who tells us exactly what we need to do to defeat the Yetzer Hara. And until then, you work on yourself. And you do things in the way that you know is good for you. You obviously need advisors. You need somebody to help you out in this way. But you do something that you know is good for you. Not what's good for the other person. The other person can learn 20 hours a day. I can't learn 20 hours a day. That's not what I'm there for. I can't do that. The other person has a 1 hour long Shemoneh Esrei. Let that person have the 1 hour long Shemoneh Esrei. I can barely do 6 minutes. Let him do the 1 hour Shemoneh Esrei. Each person has to work on himself. If you're big into singing, then sing. If you're big into dancing, then dance. If you're big into, I don't know, whatever you are, machshava, good. Then you get into that. Whatever it is, you do that, and that's what helps you. To summarize, we have certain nisim that are signs that we will succeed. One of those was the Kriyas Yardin. Number two, that a person has to be careful with signs that are given from a Navi Sheker. Because a Navi Sheker is a very, very scary thing to deal with, and that took us through a lot. Muscle to a husband and a wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu testing us. What it means to have a husband and a wife, and Hashem putting on a Nisayan, allowing us to have this Nisayan. Number four, the Akedah was an unbelievable test for Avraham Avinu. An unbelievable test, and that's what we talked about. Number five, it's a remez. We brought a remez to the four parts of an Avera, and how an Avera grows, and how it happens. Those four different parts. And number six, the different agudos that we have helps us fight better. Helps us fight the Yitzhar and helps us fight those Averas from growing, and it keeps us in the way that we want to have it. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.